Hello and welcome to Make It Sacred. I'm Courtney Barr and this is episode number 5 where we're going to be hearing Carol's story, and I'm so excited to share that with you. Honestly, I've known Carol for years. I've heard her story before, but listening to her tell it from beginning to end and how it's changed her and her life was awe-inspiring to say the least and brought tears to my eyes because it's just such an incredible story and testimony for making it sacred. That being said, if you have any stories that you want to share, if you want to be a guest on the show, or if you have a story that you want to email me and I can read it on the show, please let me know. Reach out to me on makeitsacredpodcast@gmail.com. I love the idea of being able to share your guys' experiences with how you've made it sacred in your own life, taken challenging experiences and really gleaned the lessons and the beauty from them. So please reach out to me if that is something that you are interested in. Shout out to all my patrons. I love you guys so much. I really don't have the words to express to you how much it means to me to have your support. If you are interested in getting a little bit more for this podcast, if you want to dive deeper into our community, get more videos, things that I talk about, meditations that I record for you personally, go over to patreon.com/makeitsacred for as little as $1 a month. You have access to everything. And please, 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 please go and rate, review, follow, and subscribe whatever platform you are listening to this on. It really makes a difference for people to be able to find my podcast and allow it to gain more viewers, listeners, I don't know, but those things matter. So if you haven't already, I would be eternally grateful if you would just head on over. If you're listening to this on iTunes, you can rate it and review it. If you're listening to it on Spotify, I know you can follow or subscribe. So that really does make a difference. Or share it with a friend that you think might be interested. I really, really would love this to become something that can be like a lucrative thing to do, because I feel like there's a lot of really good information out there that we can all share with each other, and I want to keep this conversation going. So with all that being said, I want to introduce Carol. She has gone through some really intense and challenging health struggles, but not only is she thriving today, she is being of service to others, and I'm so excited for you guys to hear her story. So Carol, why don't you take it away and tell us how you ended up in this chair?
Hello, my name is Carol, and I got into this chair. My health journey started at 22. And I'm now 48. It's been going on for a very long time.
A couple years,
yeah. So when I was 22 years old, right before I was about to get married, I started having some black spots in my eyes. I went to the eye doctor, and he didn't know, so he said, I think you should see a neurologist. So I went into the neurologist, who took a whole bunch of tests and MRIs and things like that, and diagnosed me at that point with multiple sclerosis. And he said to me, there's the progressive kind that just gets worse and worse, and there's the relapsing remitting kind. You have the relapsing remitting kind, so it could get worse, it could get better. Some people do better, some people do worse. I don't know why. They just do, and that's the kind that you have. And I remember thinking at that point, well, if some people do better and some people do worse, well, why, I'm going to be one that does better. In my mind, I just believe, well, whatever it takes, I'm just going to be one that does better.
I have a question for you. It's my understanding that when they diagnose you with MS, it's a little bit like fibromyalgia, where it's like they do all of these tests and nothing really comes back with any real, like, diagnostic clarity. And so they're like, based on the fact that nothing came back positive, we're diagnosing you with MS. Is that true?
Kind of. Well, they took an MRI and they could see lesions on my brain where the myelin sheaths, is what they told me, and they showed me,
okay,
are kind of wearing away in your brain. So the nerve signals are not getting firing correctly.
Sure. Okay. I wasn't sure if there was like actually a diagnostic, like, like you said. Yeah. Imaging. Okay.
So there was imaging, and that led to maybe numbness or tingling in my fingers.
Got it.
That could lead to the spots. It could lead to different things over time.
Symptoms that.
But what I've learned over the years, these autoimmune diseases that they diagnose you with, you're right. They really don't know exactly what's going on. So they categorize you into these autoimmune conditions. And maybe MS presents this way. Maybe fibromyalgia, which is another autoimmune, presents another way.
Right.
There's all kinds of autoimmune.
We could go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, don't go down that rabbit hole.
So you had this conversation with your doctor, and you were like, well, I'm not going to be one of the ones that gets worse. I'm going to be one of the ones that gets better. That was just your mindset.
Yes.
All right, and so then what happened?
So for like the next 9 years, I thought I had it under control. I ate well. I exercised all the time. I actually did whatever medication they had given me, because at 22, when you're diagnosed, you really don't have any, you don't question it. This is just Western medicine. I didn't know enough. I just did whatever I was told.
Absolutely.
So for the next time.
Did the symptoms get better?
Yeah.
Okay.
They did. So I thought, oh, I've got this under control, because I don't really have any symptoms. I'm good. It's in remission. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing.
Perfect.
Fast forward 9 years, I had a whole host of life changes all at once.
Mm.
Had my first baby. I quit my corporate job. I was now a stay-at-home mom. I had moved to Orange County, and I started working for our own business, being the CFO, because I had worked in the corporate accounting world. So all these changes all at once, I wasn't walking. I had a major relapse, and I wasn't walking.
Oh, my God.
So for, I think it was a few months, I was, you know, kind of scooting my butt up and down the stairs, because I couldn't walk up and down the stairs.
Could you walk like regular, or were you like in a wheelchair?
I wasn't in a wheelchair, but I had to be assisted. I couldn't really put a lot of weight on anything. My sister called it the gimp walk, because I just, my 15-year-old sister, bless her heart, had come down to help me, because I had a brand new baby.
Yeah.
She was 5 months old.
Oh my God.
And I couldn't really walk and carry her around. So.
Because of weakness or pain?
Weakness in my legs. They had just completely given out.
Okay. And so then what happened?
So they said, well, this is because you're not on medication. You stopped your medication to have a baby, and you're breastfeeding. So guess what? You need to go back on medication. This is going to fix everything. So what do? I go back on medication.
Yeah.
Of course, over time, I get better and I start walking again. So I think, well, I'm good. I just have to be on the medication. That's just what they prescribed. And that's just the way I did it. So everything was good. I seemed to be doing okay.
How long did that take?
It probably took a few months for me to get complete mobility back.
Okay.
But once I did, I went back to the gym. I was working out. That was working out for me as a balance. I think it's very helpful to exercise.
Sure.
But I think I crossed over the fine line where it became too much.
Mm-hmm.
I had too many rules and regulations. Well, you have to do this much, you have to do this, and then you're going to be better, rather than just let my body just gently exercise. And
just listening to what your body's saying. You just try to like regiment it and like control it.
And I think that's part of my problem throughout all of this. And a lot
which
of
we've
us
talked about before.
Yes,
yeah.
A lot of us like to control life, and we think we know what we need to do and we need to be in charge.
The ego gets in there and starts telling people or telling everything what it needs.
Well, you're going to be fine as long as you do X, Y, and Z. So you better keep doing X, Y, and Z rather than kind of trust your intuition.
Yeah.
But I didn't have much experience with that at that time. So I just.
This is all you knew. You don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
Okay, so you're a few months in, you're going to the gym, and then what happened?
I'm pretty good. I have 3 more kids. I maintained, I was on injections every other day for the next, I don't know how many years. Haley, probably another 9 years. And that's just what I did. I had 2 more kids. And so fast forward to my son is 2.5 years old. We are coming back from Costa Rica on the airplane. And I had a seizure.
And how many years ago was this?
This was 2011, I believe.
Okay.
So this was 8 years ago.
8 years
a little
ago.
More than 8 years ago.
All right.
I had a seizure.
On your way back from vacation?
On my way back from vacation. in the airplane. It was kind of embarrassing because, you know, like, okay, everybody, nobody can get off the airplane. We have a passenger that's had a medical emergency.
Oh, no.
We need to get them off first.
Like a full-blown grand mal seizure.
Yes.
Like everything.
Yes. And there were angels on the airplane, though. Like a doctor.
Oh, my God.
A neurologist was on the airplane.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, she's had a seizure. It's okay. And there was, I'm going to cry. people who took care of my kids.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I'm not supposed to cry.
You can cry.
Okay.
Okay.
That's
I have no tissue, but I have paper towels.
That's okay. No, I'm good. I'm good. So, there was people on the airplane that actually took care of my kids and calmed them down and, you know, your mom's going to be okay. So, I had no idea what's going on. My daughter later tells me, she goes, Mom, I thought you were dead.
Oh, my
which
God.
Was so sad.
Was it just you and them, your husband?
No, my husband was there.
Okay.
So, of course, he's trying to help me. I have three kids, so my sister's with me. She's got the 2.5-year-old, and so these other two, this other woman just kind of took on my other kids. One was 9, one was 6 or 7 at the time.
Oh, my God.
So.
You had so many people looking out for you.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Wow.
So I thought, why the heck am I getting seizures now? I don't even understand that. That started my curiosity and research and digging and digging. What can I find out? So long story short, and this happened over a long period of time, but I came to find out diet really has a huge effect on your well-being.
Sure.
Not that I ever ate bad, but maybe there was a diet soda here and there. Maybe there was... There's so many toxins in regular food if you're not reading ingredients that you just have to be careful. You just never know what you're eating.
Unless
if you're,
eating like something straight from the ground.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless you're paying attention, you just aren't really aware.
Sure.
And knowing what I know now, I look back and I think just the stress of my life, just trying to do way too many things and being so...
Being everything to everybody.
We're so we put so much pressure on ourselves. To be everything to everybody. And it's not necessary.
Obviously, your body was going...
My body said, I cannot do this anymore, Carol. I am shutting down, literally shutting down. We are done.
We need to... Yeah, it needed to send you a big, big message.
Yes.
And
I didn't get it on that first one. I continued to have seizures, like, every 4 months for, like, the next 4 years.
Oh, my God.
And it took me a while to finally figure it out, but the diet and the lifestyle changes... my new mantra, and when I set up my website, is change your food, change your thoughts, change your life.
Mm.
So you have to give yourself a little kindness, give yourself a little bit of a break. change all your negative I can't thoughts to positive thoughts.
Yeah. Were you kind of like a negative type of person?
I don't think I was a very negative type of person, but there was a lot of, oh, I can't do this, oh. This or you know you allow yourself to be exasperated by the circumstances.
Got it. I actually love that turn of phrase because I know a lot of people that allow themselves to get exasperated by the circumstances mm-hmm. rather than look at them for what they are and just like getting it done and moving on. They like
right.
allow themselves to have this like big emotional reaction
mm-hmm.
to something that's just like that doesn't necessarily need to be.
And in reality, they're just circumstances. They're just things presenting and we have a choice to react positively,
yeah.
negatively, or not at all.
Neutrally, yeah.
I had this conversation with my daughter last night as she was very stressed about something and she was very annoyed about something. I just said, sweetheart, you have the choice to be annoyed or not.
Right.
And she goes, I know.
And it's one, I mean, I think too, it's a fine line between like acknowledging your feelings and then playing the victim, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to be able to process things and let them move through us because if
yes.
we hold on to them, then the body's going to react.
Yes.
But then if we stay in that situation, in that space for too long, now we're ruminating and now we're playing the victim
mm-hmm.
and now we're doing ourselves a disservice. So it's like finding that balance, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Actually, I recently watched a movie and it was fabulous. They used a lot of racing analogies. And he's like, if you don't control the skid's going to control you. So it's kind of like if your circumstances in life, if you don't kind of control your reactions to them, they're going to control you.
I think that's brilliant. It's like that quote, the mind is a wonderful, terrible master, but wonderful servant or something yes. like that. Yeah.
So. Which is where the positive thoughts come in.
Right.
And we really are what we believe. And I really think my whole healing journey started because I really believed that I could find healing.
You know, it's so funny that you say that. I had a patient in here last week and I was telling her that I was going to be interviewing you for this mm-hmm. podcast and how I thought that your journey from like where you came from to where you are now was so extraordinary that I wanted people to know about it. And she was like, what makes her different? She's like, how come there are people that struggle their entire lives and never can get a break, and how come there are people like her that can find the light at the end of the tunnel? I'm like, well, number one, it's not like it happened in like 5 or 10 years time. Like yes. this was like if this took a minute. But the second is that I remember you telling me, I think the very first time that we met, when you did first get diagnosed with MS, that you were like, no, this is not going to be my outcome.
Yeah. And I'm not going to be in a wheelchair in 20 years.
Right. And I think, and then I told her that, and I was like, I think from the very beginning, her mindset was what kept her continuing to move. Our minds are so powerful. Forward. Our minds are so powerful. And I'm reading this book right now. It's called Own Yourself
mm-hmm.
by Dr. Brogan, Kelly Brogan. And she was talking in the book about the placebo effect. And she's a psychiatrist, so she comes from a place where she was actually prescribing drugs and like very much all about mm-hmm. how brain chemistry is what causes certain things. And she was like, at this point, the placebo effect is literally just mindset and uh-huh. it is stronger than any drug
mm-hmm.
for so many things, not everything,
uh-huh.
but for so many things it can be stronger because we believe. Like she was saying that they did a study for people that were on Prozac.
Mm-hmm.
And they told these people that had been on Prozac for however long period of time mm-hmm. that they were going to be split in half and one was going to continue to take the Prozac and one was going to be given a sugar pill. And at the time of the study, when they did it and they split the group, everybody across the board became more depressed. Even the people that were still on Prozac.
Wow.
Because they thought, well, maybe uh-huh. I'm on the sugar pill, and therefore it's no longer work. So something they had been taking for years that they truly believed.
They stopped believing it would work.
They stopped believing it would work, and it stopped working.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
Part of my journey is I read everything I can get my hands on that I think will pertain to me or it seems interesting. And I first have to say that my entire journey has been guided by a higher power.
I believe it.
So one of the books that I read was... am I allowed to say authors' names and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Lisa Rankin or something. Anyway, she wrote this amazing book called Mind Over Medicine. She was your typical OBGYN, working in the medical industry, medical field, and she finally had a meltdown. And she has kind of gone over to the natural side now, but her book is all about mind over medicine. You really don't need the medicine. And in some cases, I don't want to say in all cases, because there's right. cases where you really do need medicine. Yeah. I'm not saying you're just going to heal yourself by thinking positive thoughts.
I always try and find that balance, because I know there are people out there, like my little cousin is type 1 diabetic. I'm not going to be like, your mindset's wrong. You don't need yes. that insulin, you know?
But some of us, like for me, where chronic things just come and go, I just thought there had to be a better way.
Yeah.
And well, at least for me, I have found that better way.
And so you found it through a lot of different natural medicines. So you saw a naturopath, you saw me, you saw chiropractic,
mm-hmm.
and that led you to...
I've actually seen emotional healers too.
That's right. You were doing energy healing.
And it's energy healing, but it's more of the trapped emotions within your body. So there's a whole bunch of different modalities when it comes to energy healing. This is more like the trapped emotions.
Okay.
The emotion code type of a thing.
Okay.
And I think I found great success in that too.
That's amazing.
But yeah, so change your food, change your thoughts, change your life. And so people say to me sometimes, well, what if you're just having a really crappy day? How do you get out of your negative thoughts? And my answer to you is give gratitude. Just be thankful for anything you can be thankful for. Some days I'm taking my son to school and I'm just saying, oh, I'm so thankful that these lights are all green. It doesn't have to be big, because when you're thankful for small things, it just kind of continues to grow.
It's like the snowball effect.
Talking about energy, it's like you open this amazing energy vortex or something when you are grateful and you give gratitude, because God in the universe just kind of wants to shine on you.
Absolutely. They want to it's like a vacuum, and mm-hmm. they want to fill the container.
Yeah.
I started this a few months ago, and then I kind of fell out of it, and I've been, since I was sick over this last month, uh-huh. it's like definitely come back. But I would, before bed every night and the first thing every morning, I would name every single thing I could possibly think of. Mm-hmm. That was like my pillowcase, my pillows, my mattress cover.
Reminds me of Louise Hay.
Yes, yes. Exactly. Yeah. It was like, how abundant is my life that I have, like, oh, look at all this stuff in my office right now.
Yeah.
This is, oh my God. And I have my own, like the carpeting is so beautiful. Like, you know what I mean? Like, every single thing.
When you let your mind go there, you start thinking of all the things that you were thankful for.
Oh my God. And it just makes you feel like the richest person in the entire world. Yeah. And you literally can't be having a bad day when you are in that space.
I do what's called a gratitude journal, just kind of like you. It's like every night before I go to bed, I make sure at least 5 things I will write down. And I actually write them because I think there's power in the written word and the spoken word above and beyond the thoughts and thinking. So I'll actually just, even if they're silly little things that might have happened that day, but you actually need to realize the tender mercies that kind of come into your life.
Those little baby ones, I think, are some of the most powerful.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can share one little silly one as of yesterday. My son always will take all his papers out of his backpack and leave them on the couch or on the floor or whatever. I usually pick them up, look at them. If it's graded papers, I throw them in the trash. Yesterday, he left them all over the couch, so I gathered them up. I looked at them, and I thought, I probably shouldn't throw these away. This looks maybe like something important. I didn't think much about it. I put it on the counter. I picked him up from school. He says, Mom, did you throw my papers away that I left out this morning? I said, actually, no, I didn't, which is odd because I usually do. He goes, I was praying so hard that you would not throw those away because I left something in there that I needed.
Oh,
I thought the tender mercy of the day, you know, so you just have to recognize your podcast name is Make It Sacred. You have to recognize these little sacred moments.
100% agree.
And if you're looking for them, if you're aware that they happen,
everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And that's so true. So you went through all of this and that led you to your own like study of nutrition and mindset.
Yes, I actually went to the Institute of Integrative Nutrition to get my health coaching degree because my philosophy is I have been through so much healing and I have been the recipient of so many blessings, so many angels in my life, so much goodness that I feel that I need to be able to just help somebody else.
Pay it forward.
Pay it forward.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
I did the same thing.
I need to pay it forward. So, and sometimes when you get these diagnoses like MS, it's not a death sentence, there's actually kind of hope.
Wow.
At least for me, I would love to work with MS patients or recently diagnosed MS patients.
Yeah.
Say, look at me. It's possible.
Right.
You can have hope.
This
don't succumb to the diagnosis.
A lifetime sentence.
Yes.
That's always been my biggest thing, especially with mental illness and like anxiety and panic disorder and all the things that I had struggled with mm-hmm. was like, this doesn't have to be a lifetime sentence. And like, for example, especially in the last month, I've had a lot of anxiety come back up. And instead of like really falling into like, oh, it's back. Like I'm going to have to go through all this mm-hmm. all over again. It's one of those things where it's like, no, actually this time I can see that it's just my body going, wake up call.
Mm-hmm.
You need to change some things around. Like mm-hmm. maybe got a little lazy. So that being said, why don't we end with the story that you started with?
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I think our lives give us a second chance to hand us an experience and how are you going to deal with it this time? So I was telling Courtney, last week I woke up and I could not hear out of my right ear, just not 100% gone, but I felt like I had a big blockage. Maybe there was cotton in there. I thought maybe it was just earwax that I needed to get cleared out. So I was talking to my neighbor and she says, oh, that happens to my daughter all the time. I use these earwax removal kits. So she gave me one and I thought, I'm not sure I want to use this. I don't know if I want to use it on myself. I might do something wrong. But she had also given me the name of an ENT that she says she also goes to and they will remove earwax. So I thought, oh, great. I'm going to make an appointment and go in, which I did. She saw me the next day. I'm sitting in the chair. He's got his exam thing looking in my ear. He goes, your ears are totally normal. There's nothing wrong with your ears. I don't see anything in your ears. I'm going to send you into audiology for a hearing test. I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay, no problem. I go in there. I'm in there for half an hour. They put all the things in your ears and beep, and, you know, they send me back and they say, yeah, you've got significant hearing loss in your right ear. And we diagnosed you with sudden, there's an actual formal name for it. I didn't even pay attention, but it was sudden hearing loss or something. It's an autoimmune condition. Your body's attacking yourself. And we need you to take 3 weeks of steroids, come back in. We need you to go have an MRI and all your blood work done. So my head starts spinning. I thought, I'm back to age 22. I'm being diagnosed again with an autoimmune condition. But in all my knowledge and all my learning, autoimmune conditions are just what they tell you when they really don't know what's going on. So I walked out of that office. My body kind of wanted to be a little panicked, but I didn't.
Good for you.
I called my naturopath and I worked with her. And I said, I'm not going to take steroids. What do you suggest? And her suggestion was to see a chiropractor who only adjusts the atlas, what you were calling it, the upper cervical, the first vertebrae in mm-hmm. your. So I did. I went to see him a couple days later, got an adjustment. You don't even feel this adjustment. It's like he's barely touching your neck after they take x-rays to find out how out of alignment your neck is.
And you said it's like by like hundredths.
And like a hundredth of a degree.
Yeah.
And when you lay on the table and they put their hand on your neck, it almost just feels like they're touching you. But I felt, as he's touching me, he could tell that my upper cervix or whatever was way out of alignment, which was creating all the pressure on my inner ear,
yeah.
hence the hearing loss. So as he is adjusting, I could actually feel my ear pressure drop. It was getting better, and the blood flow returned to my to my face.
Amazing.
And by the end of the day, I had my hearing back, which was amazing. Who would have thought? Wow. I was really dizzy because of the adjustments, but the next morning, I was fine. In one treatment. I'm still going back to maintain,
sure.
but in one treatment. So that was me trusting my instinct to not accept what I was being told and to trust kind of my gut.
And you knew there was something.
I knew there was another way that I did not need to take 3 weeks of steroids that would not cure a problem, that would have just masked whatever it was.
And it is, yeah, in that case, just a mask for the eye. It's just a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
It's not figuring out the root of the problem.
No.
By any means.
No.
That's incredible.
So the fact, I actually felt like I got a retry. It's, you know,
yeah,
I'm like giving you another experience. Yeah. Let me give this to you again and let's see how you handle it this time.
And it sounds like you did a really good job.
So.
Yay!
I hope so. Yay!
So, you went to school for nutrition uh-huh. counseling, and are you seeing clients?
I am not seeing clients yet. I still have a full-time job with my husband, and I still have 3 kids at home, and this is something I want to do on the side. I just have not, I finished in July or August.
Okay.
So it's only been a couple months.
So I know you say you're not seeing clients yet, but I know that you are, like, seeing friends.
Yes,
and, like,
I am actively
coaching.
Working with anybody who wants to talk to me, who asks me questions, who seeks me out. I do not hold back, but I don't have a practice where people just come in and see me.
Okay. Well, that being said, if anybody is listening to this and they feel like super connected to you and really want to reach out and ask you a question or possibly work with you, how do they get in touch with you?
I actually have an email set up. It's called info@foodthoughtslife.com. That's my website because I'm so convinced that you change your food, your thoughts, you change your life. So
foodthoughtslife.com.
Uh-huh.
Perfect. I will put your information in the show notes so
okay.
people can get a hold of you if they are interested. And I just want to say thank you.
Thank you,
thank
Courtney.
You, thank you so much.
I hope this helps somebody because that's my goal.
Honestly.
Is that it'll help someone.
I think it'll help a lot of people.
Okay.
Like, your story is just so beautiful, and I appreciate you sharing it and being so vulnerable and authentic with me.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Courtney.
Thank you. I just want to give another big thank you to Carol for coming on the show and being so open and authentic and sharing her story so beautifully. I know that this is going to inspire and impact so many people. I will have her information in the show notes for anybody who's interested in working with her. You can also reach out to me at makeitsacredpodcast@gmail.com if you have questions on how to get a hold of Carol or for whatever reason can't see her information in the show notes. And we did end up talking for about 20 minutes after we ended our interview. And one of the things that came up again and again was always educate yourself. Become a PhD of your own body so that when others decide to tell you what it is that you need to do with your body, you have a sense of agency, you have a sense of sovereignty of who you are and what is best for you, for your mind, body, and spirit, and let that guide you. We give a lot of our power away to wellness and health professionals because we don't know as much medically as they do, but we are experts, or we can be if we choose to be experts in our own bodies, if we spend the time getting to know them. And we do that by the help of wellness, alternative medicine practitioners who engage in that kind of helper treatment. So we just wanted to reiterate to educate yourself on your body, become your biggest advocate, and can't wait to connect with you guys on the next show. Thank you.